Dr. Richard Harris is doing Bighorn sheep seasons and auction, raffle, and special permits. This is a briefing and a public hearing.
Thanks very much. Commissioner Carpenter, Rich Harris, section supervisor for Bighorns, Moose, Mountain Goats, and Pronghorns. And I was going to introduce you to the changes we are proposing this year for the Bighorn sheep seasons, and also the auction and raffle special permit WAC, which typically only changes when we make changes to the Bighorn season. We have a slight guest appearance from a well-known personage that you'll recognize in just a moment, because there's also an elk aspect to this, but we thought we'd put this in here. So I'll be introducing you to a very minor permit level. The only substantial thing that I'm going to take a little bit of your time to talk about is we are proposing a substantial increase in ewe harvest to actually reduce the size of the herd in the Yakima Canyon, and I will tell you more about that and why we propose doing that in just a few moments. We almost, as you know, our bighorn sheep hunting is by permit only. We also have a statewide auction, which I'm pleased to tell you was sold last week, 2 weeks ago in Reno for the second highest amount ever. So we're still very successful in interesting hunters in some of the larger rams. We have one. That's a statewide auction, so there are a few units that are exempted, but typically the hunters are interested in the herds around Wenatchee. That's the California type of bighorn, so they're typically interested in the Swaucane and Chelan Butte, but they can also hunt in some of the other units as well. But for the Rocky Mountains, we have a raffle, and this is the only raffle that is outsourced outside of the agency. And this year, we're proposing to change where that raffle hunter can hunt from 169 to 172. And the reason is that 169, it gets into bighorns, which we share with the state of Oregon. And we're on kind of a rotation schedule with them. And if we hunt in that herd, that sort of brings up the issue of whether there are two states hunting the same herd in the same year. So there's kind of a rotation going on between those two, 169 and 172, even though they're relatively close to one another. The other change we're proposing in the auction raffle WAC, which gets to the specifics of exactly where we're proposing hunts, is with the elk. And this is, again, with 334. And Brock is here, I think, to talk about this if we need. But I think Brock gave an introduction already to a lot of the changes that he's proposing, why 334 needs to have more hunting opportunity. And so this is part and parcel of this, to include this in the raffle. Is that, have I given you a quick introduction?
Yeah, and so we had proposed to kind of go through this again in case there was audience members that weren't present during my elk component of the presentation, but it appears to me that it's the same audience. The other thing I'll just cover is that we only got one comment in opposition to this, and it was a commenter that didn't understand that we were also opening this GMU up for the quality and bull permits. So they were opposed to it because they thought we were only going to allow the auction and raffle hunters to go into this GMU and not include the additional permits.
So if it's unclear later on, we can go back and talk about this, but I think it clarifies that the only changes we're proposing to make in the auction raffle are a simple swapping of one of the sheep units in the Rocky Mountain, and then continuing to open up this 334. So I'll skip over that. For the most part, our bighorn herds are in good shape, at least the ones that haven't been affected by disease, and we have some small increases to report. The Vulcan unit up here in Ferry County has been growing. It's one of our smaller herds, but it seems to be chugging along. We formerly had hunts in there. We took them away a couple of years ago when we were concerned about herd size. It's now grown to the point where we feel like we can offer a permit. We co-manage this herd with the Colville tribe, so both we and the Colvilles are proposing to offer a single permit, so a total of two between the two of us for this year. We think that there are enough rams in that herd this year to merit that. The Quillamine herd has been increasing. The latest count has it close to 200 animals with close to 60 rams, and so we're proposing to increase the number of ram opportunities, I think, from 2 to 5 in this herd as well. The Clemen herd is the herd that is near Natchez. That's the one you may be familiar with, where there's that feeding station that was originally as part of the elk feeding as well. And this herd continues to be over objective, not because we think it's starving, but because we're concerned that too many elk in this area could result in a disease transmission risk. And so this is one where there's actually a recommended adjustment. The original packet included a smaller number of ewe permits than we are proposing now. The smaller number of ewe permits was premised on our ability to give some of these elk away, I'm sorry, these bighorns away to the state of Utah, which was interested in them. Due to a number of complications, we wound up satisfying Utah, but with animals from the Chelan Butte herd and not from this herd. So there was no capture and translocation of animals away from the Clemen herd this year as originally intended, but we're still concerned that that herd is rather large. We do have ewe permits in this. We're proposing to increase the ewe permits back to where they had been in the previous year. So we're essentially going back to where we've been. So a little bit of time on this Yakima Canyon herd. This is one of the herds that got infected with the pneumonia-causing bacteria back in 2009, 2010, and it declined by about a third and then has had a subsequent number of recruitment failures, so that there are very few lambs being added to this population. The adults in this population are getting older and older. There's very few animals coming by to replace them. Just a quick review of pneumonia. We typically see this all age outbreak. We get a loss of all the animals, but then the subsequent problem is it persists for decades because the lambs get it, even if the adults are thereafter no longer susceptible. They're resistant to it, and we get these years and years of lamb recruitment failure, and the result is these sort of stagnant small populations. But the tricky part is that majority of the animals, if you can get them in hand and test them, don't have the bacteria. It's only a small proportion of the animals that are the shedders. It's sort of like the typhoid Mary situation. It's very difficult to find the particular animals that are responsible for perpetuating the disease. The technique that has shown a lot of promise, including in Washington herds, most specifically the Asotin herd and more recently the Black Butte herd as well, it's also been used in South Dakota, is what we call testing and culling, getting a hold of as many of the animals as we can, testing to see which ones have the bacteria, and finding some way to remove those animals, lethally if need be, or in some cases we can provide those to captive facilities. And this has been very successful in a couple of herds in South Dakota. It's been successful so far, we think. We're very pleased with the promising results we've seen in Asotin. The problem is it's very difficult to do on a large herd. And even though the Yakima Canyon herd is declining and has had all these years of poor lamb recruitment, it's still about 200 animals. You can't be sure of catching 200 animals, especially with a helicopter. So we're proposing to do a modified. Essentially what we want to do is reduce the herd so we can get it to the point where we can test and cull successfully, and then we think the herd will grow back as well. So two aspects to this. We want to increase the number of ram permits. And this seems counterintuitive in a population that's declining, but again, we really need to get this herd smaller so we can treat it. We have to also be more site-specific. Right now, we divide the Yakima Canyon herd into two, the Gila Butte side and the Umtanum side. But we know that the ewe groups actually subdivide more finely than that, and that the disease hops around from group to group. It's not like one group has it in all the years and gives it to the others. Our work in previous years has shown that it's unpredictable which herd is going to have it. So we actually need to be more geographically precise in our targeting of reducing the herd. We can't just say go out and hunt in the entire Gila or the entire Umtanum side. So that's one reason why this new proposal has a lot more subdivision of the herds. And here's an example of the mapping of the different herds. Males will go back and forth among these subherds, but typically in bighorn populations, the females stick more closely to these subdivided subherds. So that's the reason for the subdivision. So in short, we think this herd has no choice but to get smaller before it can get larger. And if we were to sit by and do nothing, it would decline slowly, more slowly than if we take action. But we're concerned that that's going to leave a bunch of very old adult animals left to take the breeding, you know, if indeed we were get lucky enough to have that disease go away on its own, which it might not. It can stay for decades in some cases. So the hunting first, followed by active test and cull, and we're optimistic that in a few years we'll be able to rid the few shedders that are left in that population. And at that point, we think the herd will bounce back up fairly quickly. But it's going to take a few years. We had some comments. Three supported the change. One opposed any reduction in the number of permits in deference to predator populations. I'm not aware that we are changing any regulations for bighorns in deference to predators. And then there was one that was in opposition to the proposal that I just outlined to you, but didn't seem to be clear on our reason for increasing ewe harvest. I will mention quite briefly that when we increase ewe harvest, we typically get comments, well, okay, if you have to, but wouldn't it be better if you can find places to put them? And we continually are looking for that within the state. We sometimes have an opportunity to move animals out of state into other states where they're needed, and we did just last week successfully move some animals to the state of Utah that has a herd that is in need of the kind of animals we have, so we're able to do that on occasion. But we can only do that when our herd is uninfected and when the recipient herd is also uninfected.
Any questions? Mr. Thornburn.
So he's talking about disease. It piques my interest. So as I understand it, you have carrier animals, and it is not the ewes passing it on to the fetus, infected ewes passing it on to the fetus. It's actually they're shedding, and any lamb can pick it up then.
Correct. Well, okay. And because it's not in utero, when they're first born, all the lambs are uninfected. They become infected, and typically the lamb, if imagine a group of 10 or 15, it might only be one shedder in that group, one ewe. But if she gives it to her lamb, thereafter the lambs all
the lambs
up.
Are real shedders.
They get to each other.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much on that one, Dr. Harris. No public comment.